This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. For those of you who were here just before, now inshallah we are continuing the event of the last days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the passing away, the farewell of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I'll just go back a few steps. And we'll start with the last week of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. So in his last week, he was returning back from the graveyard Al-Baqiyah. Al-Baqiyah is next to Medina. The Masjid al-Nabawi. As he was returning sallallahu alaihi wasallam from burying a companion and making dua for the people of the grave, and he is attaching himself to the hereafter already because he knows that he's about to pass away. His companions are not aware of this. They're used to the Prophet ﷺ always talking in similar language. But this time, he was trying to tell them, I'm going to die, most likely. He couldn't confirm it because he himself wasn't 100% sure. But he was getting more and more sure as the days got closer. So as he was coming back from Al-Baqiyah, he suddenly felt a sharp pain in his head and a fever started to rise in his body. He almost fell when immediately his two cousins Ali radiallahu anhu and Al-Fadl, the son of his uncle Abbas, grabbed him. They supported him on each shoulder while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in fever, and Al-Fadl said, I could see, wallahi, his legs dragging, and he could not support himself on his legs. Before he got to his house, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu saw him. So he ran to him saying, Ya Rasulullah, you feel pain through your sickness? He said, yes. I feel double the pain of what you normal men feel. He said, do you have double the reward? He said, yes. And any mu'min who receives the prick of a needle and is patient, Allah will forgive their past sins for it. As the Prophet ﷺ entered, he was at his wife Maymuna, the last of his wives, which he married. And he was getting very, very sick, about to go unconscious. So he hinted to his wives, he gathered them and hinted to them, where am I going to be tomorrow? Where am I going to be tomorrow? This was on a Thursday. This was on a Thursday night. And his wives, obviously they're intelligent, they understood that he loves his wife Aisha radiallahu anha the most. So they said, you want to go to Aisha, Ya Rasulullah? He said, yes. So they gave him permission, even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not need permission. But it is all to teach us men to be fair and just and compassionate to the females and women that we know in our family and others. So the next day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was granted his wish and he stayed at Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha didn't know how severe the pain was in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She had witnessed him before being sick, but not like this. She thought it was the same as any other day. The Prophet ﷺ gets his cousins to help him into his bed. Where was his bed? It was not inside the house of Aisha. When I say the house of Aisha, because the Prophet ﷺ had different houses for each one of his wives. They were next to each other, next to the Masjid al-Nabawi. The closest one was Aisha radiallahu anha's house. And outside of the house of Aisha radiallahu anha was another section, which was the courtyard. It had just simple leaves on top, and it was out in the open, and when people wanted to visit the Prophet ﷺ, they would go into that courtyard. The Prophet ﷺ transferred his bed outside. It was a very simple bed. And he used to sleep on it. Why? In case people wanted to visit him and not bother his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. So when men entered, she would go into the house to give them that comfort. And the Prophet ﷺ was thinking of the people as well. So as he slept there, Aisha radiallahu anha jumps into the bed with him and lies down beside him. And as she usually does, she said to him, "Wa ra'sahu ya Rasulullah." My head hurts, ya Rasulullah. She always used to say that. But this time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about to tell her something else. Usually he hugs her, kisses her on her forehead, reads some Quran. This is what she was expecting. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paused and he smiled. He smiled because he thought, let me have a light-hearted joke with my wife. Teaching us as much as you can, make your house light-hearted. Don't let your family see a habit of frowning and anger on your face, men or women, because then they will imitate you. So even in his sickness, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and he decides to make a little joke with her. He says to her, "Balwa ra'sahu ya Aisha." No, this time it's my head. I'm the one in pain. Aisha paused. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said to him, "I'll read on you the quls." She used to read the ma'awidhatayn. This is the sunnah to read on sick people, ma'awidhatayn. Qul a'udhu birabbin nas, qul bil falaq, qul huwallahu ahad also. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to her, "Ya Aisha, hold on a minute. Let's say that," and he's speaking in a very light voice, very painful voice, but he's trying his best to get it out. So you can imagine a very sick man, the Prophet ﷺ is barely able to get his voice out. He says, "Ya Aisha, how about this? Imagine that you had such a severe headache and you were so sick and you were about to die and then you die before me. Wouldn't that be a thing? And I get to wash you and I get to shroud you with my hands and I get to pray on you and I get to bury you and I make dua for you. How would you like that?" Now obviously any normal person will say, "Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing that for me, I'm guaranteed paradise." That's what you would think. Aisha radiallahu anha also thought that. But for that moment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. Why? Because he knows his wife. He knows what she's going to reply. He knows she's jealous. Jealous in a good way. Who wouldn't be married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So she said to him, she pauses and thinks about it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is waiting for her reply. And she says to him, "Actually, no, I wouldn't like that I die before you. Then who's going to monitor which wife, whose turn it is? You might go to one wife more than the other." Now, obviously, he would never do that. And she used to say, "I'm the one that monitors." She used to monitor every day for him, when her day is or when this person's day is. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. And she was also joking with him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when she put her hand on his head, she realized that the Prophet ﷺ really was not joking about his sickness. He was in severe pain. Severe. Al-Fadl, his uncle Al-Abbas, walks in, and Fadl, his son. And they put their hands, he puts his hand on the Prophet's head, Al-Fadl, his son. And he says, "I could feel my hand almost burning from the amount of hate on the Prophet's head." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not complain about his pain. This was a Friday, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt able to go out and give a khutbah. He gave his khutbah for the Jumu'ah, gave some advices to the people, and then he went back in. And every day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray imam with his sickness, with two people either holding him on each side of the shoulder, and sometimes he would walk himself to get there. Then one day on a Wednesday, 5 days before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, his fever suddenly increased beyond measure, and he became extremely unconscious. He actually became unconscious and couldn't wake up. And then when he woke up, he said to them, "Go and get me water from the well of such and such." It was a special well with cool water, more than the other wells. So they brought buckets after buckets, and he said, "Tip them on my head, one after the other, until they reached the seventh bucket and he said, stop. His fever had diminished, it went down. When his fever went down, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on that Wednesday, it was after Dhuhr, close to Asr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam found some strength to go out into the masjid and he stood up on the minbar. His minbar was made of three steps. How many steps? Three. He used to climb to the second step and sit on the third step in between the two khutbahs. It wasn't a khutbah time like Jumu'ah, but it was a khutbah. He was telling them things. So they would talk and he would talk with them. So he stood on the second step of the minbar and he praised Allah and sent his prayers upon the Messenger of Allah himself and his family. And then he said the following words, La'anatullahi ala al-Yahud wal-Nasara. May Allah curse the Jews and the Christians because they made the graves of their prophets into places of worship. O people, he said, do not do the same with me. Don't turn my grave into a masjid. Do not make my grave into a masjid. وَلَا تَطْرُونِ كَمَا أَطْرَتِ النَّصَارَ عَيْسَ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ فَجَعَلُوهُ إِلَهًا. This hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. And do not overpraise me the same way the Christians overpraised Isa alayhi salam, the son of Mary, until they claimed that he is a god. إِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُ. I am just the servant and slave of Allah and his messenger. فَقُولُوا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُ. Say Abdullah and Rasul. Then he said, who wants their revenge if I have hurt anyone? And a man said, Ya Rasulullah, you smacked me in my stomach once. He said, here is my stomach, take your revenge. Then the man kissed the Prophet's stomach. He said, as though the Prophet was farewelling us, I wanted to be blessed with his skin. Another man, the Prophet kept on saying, who do I owe money? Who do I owe money to? Who do I owe money to? You must come up. You must go. He kept repeating until finally he said, if he loves Allah and his messenger, you will tell me that I owe you if I forgot it. So one man, he couldn't hold himself, says, Ya Rasulullah, you owe me 3 dirhams. Truly, he had borrowed 3 dirhams. And the Prophet ﷺ gave them to him. He told Al-Fadl to give them to him, one of his members of his family. And the Sahaba said, why did you do that? You know, why would you take the money off him? They said, didn't you hear him? He kept repeating over and over again until I thought that if I don't say anything, I'll probably be sinful. And then he finally said, whoever loves Allah and his messenger will tell me. He says, I love Allah and his messenger. I want their love. That's why I did it. Otherwise, 3 dirhams, what's that? It's like $3, $5. Who cares? So you see, my brothers and sisters, how the Sahabas were. Then the Prophet ﷺ went on with his words. He prayed the Dhuhr, then he stood up again and he said, do not hate one another. Do not hold grudges against one another. Do not backbite one another. Do not slander one another. Do not give each other in for their secret sins. Do not expose each other's sins. Do not abandon one another. You meet each other at the masjid or places. This person turns his back and the other one turns his back. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. O worshippers of Allah, be brothers and sisters. Then after he said that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at the Ansar of Medina and he said, Istawsu bil Ansari khayrun. Look after the Ansar, the men and women of Medina, and think of them well. Did they not share with them their food when you had no food? Did they not give you shelter when you had no shelter? It's talking about the Muhajireen when they went from Mecca to Medina. Did they not look after you when you had no one else and your own families had gotten rid of you? Did they not share their wealth with you? And this is an indication that the Ansar come next in value after the Muhajireen. Because it's telling the Muhajireen to look after the Ansar, therefore the Ansar are lesser in value than the Muhajirin. There is no one since the beginning of time till the end, after the prophets and messengers of Allah, more higher in the eyes of Allah than the Muhajirin. A number of Muhajirin, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Abu Ubaid, Abdullah Mas'ud, all those who migrated, Bilal radiallahu anhu, the rest. The Ansar come second. And then he said, all people keep giving birth to each other and they will increase, except the Ansar. They will become extinct. So treat them well. Allah, Allah fil Ansar. He said, I beseech you by the will of, by the name of Allah, to look after the Ansar. Prophet ﷺ never, ever forgot the favors that anyone did for him. The Ansar looked after him. And right before his death, he announces by repaying the favor to them. Then the Prophet ﷺ started breaking the news to the Sahabas, and still they couldn't get it. What did he say? He said, Ayyuhan Nas, O people, I have to tell you this. Inna abdan min ibadillahi khuyyira. One of the slaves of Allah has been given a choice between living in this world eternally or going to Allah now. And this slave of Allah chose death and to go to Allah now. As soon as he said that, the Sahabas were just listening, and then suddenly Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu was sitting there, and he says, we suddenly heard a man among the crowd burst into tears, and he could barely breathe from the amount of crying he was going through. He was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he was saying, فَدَيْنَاكَ بِأَبَائِنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. We ransom our own fathers and mothers for you, Ya Rasulullah. We ransom our own mothers and fathers for you, Ya Rasulullah. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu says, when the Prophet ﷺ died later on, we knew that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the most knowledgeable among us. He was the only one who worked out that the Prophet ﷺ was talking about himself. I have been given a choice. Live eternally and you will get Jannah, or go to Allah now, and I chose to go to Allah now. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu cried, and he knows the Prophet ﷺ is going to die, so he burst into tears out of his love for him, saying, I would ransom my father and mother for you, Ya Rasulullah, to stay with us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu crying like that, he raised his voice saying, nobody I owe anything back to. Everyone who's ever done a favor for me, I've repaid him. Except for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, I will never be able to repay him for the favors he's done for me. Everyone I've repaid except for Abu Bakr. And he said, the one I owe the most to in my companionship and wealth is Abu Bakr. And if I were to take a closest companion, a Khalil to me, I would have chosen Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to be a Khalil to me. But oh Abu Bakr, Allah has already chosen your messenger Muhammad to be his Khalil. So you are now my closest brother and my most compassionate in relationship. Then he said, everybody, from this day onwards, all these doors into the masjid must be closed off and never ever opened again. Remember what I told you? They were allowed people to build their homes, first in best dressed, and anyone can open a little curtain to enter the masjid from their house. Prophet ﷺ said, close them all off. Nobody has that privilege anymore, except the door of the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Prophet ﷺ used to have a house there, and there was a curtain he would still enter from them. He said, except for the door of Abu Bakr, till today, that one of them has been the door of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And now all the other doors have been opened and been named in Medina, you will know them. But it was not named after any Sahabi or family or people anymore, except the door of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Until today it's called the door of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed down. He prayed the Asr with them. He went back inside, sick and in his bedridden. Then he would come out barely able to walk at Maghrib time. And then he prayed Salat al-Maghrib and recited Surah al-Mursalat. It was the last surah he recited as an imam with his sahabas. Then he went back inside sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Maghrib on a Thursday. Most likely it was on a Thursday, some say it was on a Friday, Allahu A'lam. He went back into the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. As he lied down on his bed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he waited, and then Bilal radiallahu anhu called the adhan. I didn't mention this before the Maghrib, but now I have time. Bilal radiallahu anhu used to call the adhan, of course. He called the adhan, and he knew usually when he reaches Ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah, he would look to his right, and he would see the Prophet ﷺ come out from the curtain. This was a normal habit. If he didn't come out, Bilal radiallahu anhu would wait for the iqama, and then when the iqama was being called, he would come closer to the door of the Prophet ﷺ. And at the end of it, he would say, "Uqimat as-salah ya Rasulullah." The iqama has been made, Rasulullah, and he would come out to pray imam. So Bilal radiallahu anhu does that. He goes to the curtain and he said, "Uqimat as-salah ya Rasulullah." The Prophet ﷺ hears the voice of Bilal and wakes up. As he was about to get up, he noticed that all the energy and strength from his legs had gone. So he fell to the ground, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he went unconscious for a few moments. Then the people of his house woke him up, and the first thing he said was, "Asalla an-nas?" Did the people pray? This is the only thing on his mind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The salah is the only thing on his mind. And right up to his death, so Prophet ﷺ used to say, "As-salatu as-salah." Even while he's struggling with his voice, can you imagine saying, "As-salah, as-salah, as-salah, as-salah," right to the last moment, last breath, "As-salah." People used to come closer and say, "What are you saying?" I said, "As-salah. Look after your salah. Pray it on time. Don't let it go." And he would fall. He fell a second time. Then he woke up. "As-salah an-nas." The people pray. And he would say, "They're waiting for you, Ya Rasulullah." He kept on getting up, trying to go to pray imam. Allahu Akbar. He fell down again. He's got to make it to his salah. Seven times. Seven times the Prophet ﷺ stood up. And he fell to the ground. He couldn't make it just past the curtain. And then when he woke up and realized that he cannot make it into there, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had gone out a little bit. He was on his way back, yani. And then he said to his wife, Aisha radiallahu anha, "Muru Abu Bakrin falyusalli bin nas." Go and tell Abu Bakr to pray imam in my place. The Prophet ﷺ had never ever told anyone to lead in his place in Medina in the entire time he was there. This was the first time Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu prayed imam. And this is a sign for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to be elected as the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the Prophet ﷺ didn't say elect Abu Bakr. Do you know why? He only gave hints. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not want to make it a sunnah that the khalifas can choose who's going to be after them. But he left it open for the Muslims to come together and make it a shura, an advice, a council between each other, and they all elect the appropriate imam that they would like to lead. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the Sahih Hadith, "Man amma an-nasa wa hum lahu karihun," whoever forces his leadership or even the imam of the salat or any kind of imamship upon the people while they dislike him to lead the imam, they don't want him, Allah places the curse upon that person or his anger. So he left it a council, and he was giving hints after hints of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This was the first hint, to pray imam after me. Aisha radiallahu anha didn't like that. Why? Because she thought, if my father ends up praying and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ends up dying, then forever they will start thinking of my father as pessimistic, in a pessimistic way, that, look, my father prays imam and the Prophet dies, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't want my father to be remembered that way. At the same time, Prophet Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's voice was always low. And whenever he recited the Quran, he used to cry a lot, and the people would wait and wait until he ends, finishes crying. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, my father, you know, he's got a low voice, people won't like it. And Prophet ﷺ shook his head, he said, Muru Abu Bakrin falyusalli bin nas. Second time now. Then she repeats, how about someone else, Ya Rasulullah? How about Umar? He said, Muru Abu Bakrin falyusalli bin nas. Ya Rasulullah, a third time. Third time, she doesn't bring any new option or opinion. So he got upset, Prophet ﷺ. He raised his voice and says, Kuntunna suwayhibatu Yusuf. You, my wives, are acting like the women that conspired against Yusuf. You and Hafsa are conspiring to get her father Umar to pray imam. Muru Aba Bakrin falyusalli bin nas. Tell Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that I command him to pray imam. So as Aisha radiallahu anhu was looking for her father, the Muslims are waiting, and Umar radiallahu anhu was there, and they all elected Umar to pray imam. He says Allahu Akbar, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could hear, because Umar radiallahu anhu's voice is very loud. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hears Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu reciting, and he becomes furious sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he raises his voice as much as he can finally, and he says, يَأْبَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يُصَلِّ أَبَا بَكْرٍ بِالنَّاسِ. Allah and His Messenger refuse this salat, this imam, except with Abu Bakr being the imam. The hadith is Sahih Muslim Bukhari. All the companions heard this. Until Umar radiallahu anhu said, I wished that I had never been born that day. I moved back, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu arrived, and they started their salat again. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu leading the salat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened the curtain, and he saw all the Muslims lined up, and he smiled, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh, how much we yearn for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's smile, my brothers and sisters, and his blessed cold hands. His smile brings comfort to the soul and resolves all problems. Then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after that became paralyzed temporarily for about 2 days. He could not go back to the masjid. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu ended up praying 16 salats as an imam on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 16 before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death. Except for one, we're going to mention it. On a Sunday, or maybe a Saturday, at about Dhuhr time, Rasulullah ﷺ opened the curtain, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was praying imam. Then the Muslims, they noticed, because everybody's there, you know, waiting, because everybody's coming to see what's happened to the Prophet ﷺ. Their hearts are with him, they're worried about him. And whenever that curtain opened, the Muslims would look. So they were in their salat, and they all looked. And their tasbih started to rise, because he can't talk in prayer. They say, Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu heard this. And he looked to his left, because the Qibla is that way. And you can imagine the Rawdah, for those of you who have been to the Medina. At the moment, the Imam has a minbar. The Qibla is in the front. They built that at the time of the Ottoman Empires. But the actual mihrab is at the back, near the Rawdah. And I'm going to tell you in a minute why people don't use it. And Abu Bakr is praying imam radiallahu anhu, so he looks to his left, because Prophet's house is on the left. That's where he's buried, if you've ever been there. Prophet looks to his left, and he sees Abu Bakr looks to his left, and he sees the Prophet coming in. And he's being held by two companions, his family members. And Abu Bakr becomes happy inside. He moves back for the Prophet to take over as an imam. No, he's the imam. Because technically, whoever prays imam of the Muslims in the Masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, all right, is the imam of the Muslimin. And Umar radiallahu anhu, I failed to mention, when the Prophet ﷺ ordered that Abu Bakr pray and when Umar accidentally prayed. After that, when they made taslim, Umar stood up before everyone. He extended his hand out to Abu Bakr and shook it and gave him bay'ah. He gave him his pledge. He said, I give you my pledge of allegiance to follow you as my leader. Because the imam of the masjid is the imam of the Muslimin in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Khalifa becomes the imam of the masjid. So Abu Bakr moves back. And the Prophet ﷺ smiles to Abu Bakr. He comes close to him, taps him on his shoulder and says, Ilzam makanak. Stay where you are, Ya Abu Bakr. Stay in the front. Another sign to the Muslims, your imam, elect him. And the Prophet ﷺ sat on the floor on the left side of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he said to him, while Abu Bakr is praying, he said, I will lead silently, because his voice was very low, so no one could hear him at that time. He could barely get it out. He goes, you can hear me. And then you loudly say after me, Allahu Akbar, and they will follow you. So they're technically praying behind the Prophet ﷺ. But who are they hearing? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is the ultimate sign. All the Sahabas knew this. That Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is to be elected. Prophet ﷺ is next to him. He's telling Abu Bakr, elect him to be the Khalifa. Rasul ﷺ prayed that prayer of Dhuhr next to him. And then he gave his last khutbah, his last word to his companions. After that, he did not meet his companions as a whole and speak to them as a whole after that. And what did the Prophet ﷺ say to them? Ar-Rasul ﷺ, he reminded them to love one another and to forgive one another. And the Prophet ﷺ said to them, I will meet you at my fountain of Kawthar. So be vigilant with your salat. And they said, how will you know them, Ya Rasulullah? How will you know the people you've never seen? How will you know the part of Jannah? He said, I will wait for them at the Kawthar. And I will see them like a man who owns horses that are black, dark, with no spots on them. And among these black horses are horses with stripes on their backs and legs. I will know them among the people on the Day of Judgment because of the light, the nur, that will come out of their faces, arms and legs, while everyone else is charcoal, burnt. They said, how, Ya Rasulullah, where is this light from? He said, min athar al-wudu. From the wudu they used to do for asbighu al-wudu, ya ibadullah. Rasulullah said, make your wudu properly and pray your salat properly. And he ended his khutbah with the following words, as-salatu as-salat wa ma malakat aymanukum. Your salat, your fajr, your dhuhr, your asr, your maghrib, your isha, do not delay them. Do not abandon them. This is what will save you on the Day of Judgment. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. And the weak people who are under your care and protection. Rasulullah ﷺ always, these were among his last words, the prayer, as-salah, because it's the only thing that makes you humble before Allah. And the weak ones that are under your care and protection. Look after them. Then Rasulullah ﷺ entered back to Aisha's house, radiallahu anha, and he's sleeping on the bed outside in the courtyard, as I said. And then he says to Aisha, Ya Aisha, how much money do we have left? She looks around the house, she searches and finds 7 silver coins, 7 dinars. Silver coins are not worth anything, not much. They're worth about $30 Australian today, approximately. He said, Ya Aisha, give my 7 dinars to the poor. That's all he had. This is the man who reached Yemen and Bahrain and the whole of the Arab Peninsula, about to reach Persia and Syria. He takes a fifth of the spoils of war, fifth, and he has none of it left except 7 dinars. What did he do with it? He gave it to the poor and the needy, his own wealth. Then he went unconscious and he woke up. What's the first thing he said to Aisha? What did you do with the 7 dinars? She said, Ya Rasulullah, we've been busy with you. He said, give the 7 dinars. And then he went unconscious. When he woke up, what's the first thing he said to her? Did you give the 7 dinars away? And when she found that he was serious, she said, I will. And he said to her, Ya Aisha, Ma balu bi Rasulillah. What would you say about the Messenger of Allah? يَلْقَ رَبَّهُ وَمَعَهُ هَذِهِ الدَّنَانِيرِ. He reaches and meets his Lord, and he still has this money from this world. Give it away as soon as you can. And truly she went and gave it away until there was nothing left in the house of the Prophet ﷺ of money. Then the Prophet ﷺ freed whatever slaves he had, all of them, fi sabilillah. And then he gave away his armor to the Muslims. And there was only a cup of dry barley left. Aisha radiallahu anha says, I used to use that, and I kept using it and using it. Every time I used it, I thought that it was still, you know, I kept using from it, and it looked like it was not diminishing. It was always barley, just a cup. It was blessed from the Prophet ﷺ after his death. And she said, until one day I measured it. I thought, what's going on here? I measured it. She goes, as soon as I measured it, the cup ran out. Why? Because before I was relying on Allah fully, from the hands, obviously, the Prophet ﷺ who had blessed the cup. And it was because of him. None of you can, and you go and buy a wheat of barley and then you say, I rely on Allah, it's going to finish. So this was only for Aisha and Prophet ﷺ as a miracle. But when she measured it, the reliance on Allah went to the reliance of the measurement. And so when you rely on the dunya, in general, it doesn't last long. So the barakah means that it keeps staying. And that was the barakah of the house of Prophet ﷺ. Aisha Radana says, there was nothing left, so much so that even oil for cooking I couldn't find. I had to borrow it from our neighbor. And such was the life of Prophet ﷺ, leaving this world without anything from it. Then, one day before the Prophet's death, and, well, in the same day actually, it was Fajr time. It was Fajr time. The day of the Prophet's death. Monday, the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, Rabi'ul Thani, in the 11th year of Hijrah. It was Fajr time, and suddenly the Prophet ﷺ felt a bit of energy. He gained consciousness. For some reason, he felt a bit of an ability to stand up. And he goes to the curtain. He sits up. His bed was near the curtain. He opens the curtain. And obviously, the Sahaba is always waiting. You know, all they can hear is the curtain. They all looked. And what did they see? The face of the Prophet ﷺ doing what? Doing what? Smiling. Because what did we say before? If you were ever to meet the Prophet ﷺ, you would always see him smiling. The only time he would cry is when he's at night between him and Allah, or when an ayah comes down, or a very exceptional circumstance before his sahaba's prayer or whatever, and you would hardly ever see him angry or upset. You'd be lucky to see him that way. So when you hear a hadith, Prophet ﷺ got angry, know that this was one in a blue moon. Very rare. So he opened the curtain, sees them all praying in a line, in his salah. This is all that mattered to him. All behind one imam, together, civilized, like one body. No one is better than the other. No superiority over another. In order. And he smiled, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sahabas thought that he was going to come out. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what does he do? He moves back again. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam signals from a distance, stay where you are. And he returns the curtain back, and resorts back to his bed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, who has he got there? He's lying down with his wife, who? Aisha radiallahu anha. So he says, call for Fatima, my daughter. Fatima radiallahu anha comes. She enters the house. And she hadn't seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yet in that condition because she was just too scared. She loves him too much, she couldn't handle it. So because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, come, she entered. And as soon as she saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she just couldn't feel her legs. So she fell to the ground. And she just barely was able to walk to him. She basically slithered towards him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, Wa karba abata, an Arabic statement. She said, what is this pain my father's going through? Now, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, every time Fatima would enter, Aisha radhiallahu anha says, every time Fatima would enter, only for her, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to get off his bed or off his seat on the floor, and he would get Fatima, kiss her on her forehead, smile, and put her in his place. That's how much he loved her, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When Fatima found that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not do that, she knew that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in absolute pain, that he couldn't even get up, and that's what made her fall, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So she came close to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and she said, "Wa karba abata, what pain my father is going through." And he said to her, "Ya Fatima, la karba ala abidik, la karba ala abiki ba'da al-yawm, ya Fatima. There is no pain after today to your father, ya Fatima." And then he whispered to her something which made her cry more. Then he whispered to her something else which made her laugh out of happiness. After the Prophet ﷺ died, Fatima would not tell the secret of the Prophet ﷺ. Even Aisha said, "Ya Fatima, what did he say?" She said, "No, I will not tell you. It was a secret." Until after his death, she said, she was allowed. She said, "The first time he whispered to me saying, your father is going to die. So I cried. And then he said to me, you're going to be the first one from the women of my family to die after me. So I laughed, I smiled, because I loved it." She doesn't want to live after the death of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Death means she'll be reunited with him. And this is the verse in the Quran, brothers and sisters. For those of you who had members of your family die, here is a great hope. I'll recite it to you.
وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينَ.
Allah said, and those believers who die, those believers among you who die, and they leave after them an offspring who also believe, we will make them follow you upwards, not downwards. Whoever is in the high places of Jannah, we'll make you go up and unite with them. And we will not bring those above to you. وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلٍ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We will not decrease people from high places. Instead, we will take their family up to them. La ilaha illallah. So my brothers and sisters, raise pious children and be pious yourselves, and your family will be reunited with any member of the family who is in the higher places. Fatima radiallahu anha knew that. And then she said this hadith in Sahih Bukhari, she said, and he said to me, "Anti sayyidatu ahli nisa, anti sayyidatu nisa al-dunya. You are the best of all the women of the dunya." Some may say it's Maryam alayhi salam, but in this hadith it says Fatima radhiyallahu anha. My brothers and sisters in Islam, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Call my grandchildren Al-Hasan wal-Husayn." So they went and brought Al-Hasan wal-Husayn. They were still little children. They were still about 4, 5, 6 years old maybe. And he hugged them and kissed them both. And he made dua for them. And he said to everyone, bequested them to look after his grandchildren. He loved them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hassan and Hussein. And then after that, he called all of his wives. They all came and sat in front of him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he gave them a bequest of deen and to look after their salat, to look after their character, to look after their hijab, to look after their obedience to Allah, and to seek forgiveness from Allah. And then he looks at Aisha radiallahu anha, and he says, "Ya Aisha," she says, "Labbayka ya Rasulullah, I'm here for you, ya Rasulullah." He says, "Ya Aisha, I can suddenly feel the pain of the poison I ate in Khaybar." Remember? Remember when the Jewish woman gave him the poisoned shoulder? We talked about that. He says, "I can feel the pain of the poison. Again, it's showing." And that's why Al-Fadl ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and others, they said, we assume that the Prophet ﷺ was a martyr. he was murdered from the poison, he died a martyr. And some said no. So he said, مَا زِلْتُ أَجِدُ أَلَمَ الطَّعَامِ الَّذِي أَكَلْتُهُ فِي خَيْبَرَ I can still feel the poison of the food I ate in Khaybar. So the Aisha radiallahu anha used to come place her hand on his head and on his stomach and she would continuously recite. And this shows us that we are allowed to do ruqya. Ruqya means spiritual healing, to recite Quran, words of Allah and dua. Even Aisha radiallahu anha recited it on the best creation of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then after Fajr, as the hours went by, and as the zenith of the sun came close, which is about 11 o'clock, just before that, Abdul Rahman, the son of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who is the brother of Aisha radiallahu anhu, the brother of Aisha radiallahu anha, so he's a mahram upon her, he was about 19, 20 years old, he enters into the courtyard, and Aisha radiallahu anha stays sitting there, because obviously he's a mahram. And he had with him a miswak, you know, the miswak, the toothbrush. And at that point, the Prophet ﷺ couldn't speak. So he looks at the miswak of... I'm trying to hold myself, but I don't want you to laugh at me, okay? I don't want you to laugh at me. So I'm trying to hold myself emotionally. It's quite an emotional thing. So he... Rasulullah ﷺ looks at the miswak of Abdul Rahman. He starts staring at it for a long time. And Aisha radiallahu anha understood that he wants the miswak. He wants to clean his teeth. Why? Because he wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clean as possible, with his teeth brushed. So Aisha radiallahu anha says to Abdul Rahman, she says to him, do you want the miswak, ya Rasulullah? The Prophet ﷺ. So she takes the miswak, and before giving it to the Prophet ﷺ, this is Aisha for you. She uses it on her mouth first. Why? She says, I wanted my saliva to be mixed with the Prophet ﷺ's saliva as the last thing and no one else after me. So she gives him the miswak, and the Prophet ﷺ liked that. He said, I'll use it, don't worry. And he started, she said, Wallahi, Aisha ﷺ said, Wallahi, I did not see the Prophet ﷺ use the miswak that intensely like the day when he died. He wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's waiting, he's anxious to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا عَسَّلَهُ If Allah loves a slave of his, he will make his end, death, beautified. You actually feel happy. You feel excited to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of death. Not before the death, and people fear death. But when you're about to die, suddenly you feel an ease and a comfort. And this is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cleaned his teeth. And after he cleaned his teeth, he says, get me some water. He got some water and he started to dip his hands in it and clean his head and put it on top of his head. And then he turned to Aisha radiallahu anha. And he said, O Aisha, إِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ لَسَكَرَاتٍ Death has pain. Death has intoxications. I'm feeling it. يَا عَائِشَ إِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ لَسَكَرَاتٍ Death has pains. Aisha is crying for the Prophet ﷺ. And then Abdul Rahman is still there. And the Prophet ﷺ wanted to get up. And when he said to her, Ya Aisha, I'm feeling pain of death. Aisha radiallahu anha couldn't hold herself. So she sits on the floor beside the bed of the Prophet ﷺ. And she asks her brother to help him take the Prophet ﷺ up. She grabs him with his arms. The Prophet ﷺ couldn't walk anymore. Khalas, he's gone. He couldn't move. Aisha radiallahu anha grabs him. And she places him onto her chest like this, supports him. He said, وَكَانَ رَأْسُ رَسُولَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَيْنَ صَدْرِي وَنَحْرِي His head was resting on my sternum here. And his arms down, and she's hugging him. And she says, I looked at the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, I kept looking at his eyes, because he was looking up. He looked up like that, with his head wiggling. And he tried to lift his hands up, and the miswak is still in his hands. And he pointed his finger upwards. And then she says, while he was in my arms, I could hear him say the following words. No, بل الرفيق الأعلى. بل الرفيق الأعلى. No, no, no. I choose the companion of the Most High. I choose the companion of the Most High. Who is the Most High? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, I understood from him that Jibreel alayhi salam was speaking to him. And he was giving him the last chance. Die now or stay alive. In one hadith it says that somehow Aisha radiallahu anha understood from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't know the authenticity of this hadith, that Malak al-Mawt, the angel of death, was standing outside of the door. And Jibreel said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Malak al-Mawt is here, Ya Rasulullah. And he asks you permission to come in. He asks you permission to come in, and the angel of death had never asked anyone before him the permission, except for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said to him, إِذَنْ لَهُ يَا جِبْرِيلِ. Let him come in. بَلِ الرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى. I want Allah. I've missed Allah. And Aisha then also says in another hadith, I don't know again the authenticity, but the meaning is correct, Allahu A'lam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Jibreel seeking his advice. And Jibreel looked at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, قَدْ اشْتَاقَ إِلَيْكَ رَبُّكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Your Lord misses you. Can you imagine Allah missing us? He really wants you to come to Him. Enough of this world. Enough pain, Ya Rasulullah, come to me. And then he says, بِلَ الرَّبَلِ الرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى. Aisha radiallahu anha looks at him, and his hand started to bend sideways with the miswak in it. And his last words were, بَلِ الرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى. And his arm fell down. She said, all I felt was him getting heavier and heavier. I looked at him, and his blessed eyes are in the sky. شَاخِصَةٌ عَيْنَاهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. His eyes are staring at the sky. And he was motionless, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. And his eyes are looking up at the sky. And his last words, I choose my Lord. Aisha radiallahu anha couldn't hold herself. She placed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the floor, near his bed. And she covered his face. And she walked outside the house, and people could hear her. She didn't know what she was saying anymore. She didn't know what she was saying anymore. She didn't know. She says words that she couldn't understand. The Sahaba started to understand something was wrong. So then Al-Abbas enters, his uncle, and he sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dead. And then from a distance, the news reached Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, before the Prophet ﷺ had died, just before duha, before 11 o'clock, he said, Ya Rasulullah, it looks like you're fine now. You know, you look good. And Ali radiallahu anhu told him, you look good, Ya Rasulullah. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, it's been 3 days, I haven't seen my wife. Do you give me permission to go and just check on her and I'll return? And Prophet ﷺ had given him permission. So Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had gone on his mule, and he hadn't taken, you know, a few meters, maybe not even 200 meters away, when he received the news that Aisha, his daughter, is outside the house and she is not herself. So he started hearing about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes back on his mule and he enters the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house. He looks at his daughter Aisha. He sees her, she's hysteric. He enters the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house and he sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's body on the floor. So he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he kneels down and takes the cover off his face. And immediately Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu begins to cry heavily. And he looked at him and says, تُبْتَحَيًّا وَمَيَّةً يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Wallahi, you look beautiful alive and dead, Ya Rasulullah. You look beautiful as if you are alive. Truly, the Prophet looked amazing. And the first things Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Fidaka abi wa ummi. I would ransom my own mother and father for you. I would ransom my own mother and father for you to come back. And then he said how beautiful you are, covered his face, and the Sahabas began to become hysterical. The Sahabas used to say, Abdullah ibn Abbas, or Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, I think, said, عندما مات رسول الله, when Prophet ﷺ died, أنكرنا أنفسنا. We no longer knew who we were. People started talking gibberish. We didn't know how to talk anymore. Some of us would stare in front of us, not knowing where we are. He said, Wallahi, the day the Prophet ﷺ was born was the brightest day. And the day the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina was the brightest day. And the day the Prophet ﷺ died was the darkest day that ever came upon us. Ankarna anfusna. No one knew who they are anymore. You ask them, what's your name? They say, what? What are you talking about? What? Where are you going? I don't know. Where are you walking to? I don't know. Umar radiallahu anhu stood outside the masjid with his hand on his sword about to take it out. And he would say, what's this? Who's saying Muhammad has died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? La wallahi ma mat. He did not die. Whoever says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has died, I will cut his neck off. He is like Musa alayhi salam. He's only gone to his Lord temporarily and he will be back. Don't be hypocrites. And he lost himself. He became in denial. And anyone who spoke to him, he couldn't see, is just staring, like his pupils are big, and just staring in front of him. Ali radiallahu anhu fell to the ground. He enters, and when he saw the Prophet ﷺ on the ground, he collapsed and couldn't get up anymore. Uthman radiallahu anhu uskit. He didn't know, he couldn't talk anymore. He come to talk to him, he can't talk anymore. Another Sahabi said, oh Allah, if the news is true, make me go blind so I may not see anyone after the Prophet ﷺ. I don't know the authenticity of this hadith. And he went blind immediately. And the Sahabas didn't know what to do with the Prophet ﷺ. They didn't know. His body's just laying there. No one knows what to do. Everybody's hysterical. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the only one who was strong enough. He enters the masjid and climbs up the mimbar, and he only goes up the first step. Which step did the Prophet ﷺ used to go up on? The second step. And he used to sit on the third step. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu climbs up the first step and does not go any further. Why? Nobody is at the level of the Prophet ﷺ. Out of love and absolute respect, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would not go past the first step. Who is he to go up to the step of the Prophet ﷺ? And no one ever told him that, but this is out of the much love and respect they had. And really, from that day, brothers and sisters, till today, no imam has ever stepped further than that first step of the mimbar of Rasulullah, which still stands there. Nobody. Now there's another mimbar that Imam climbs up on, not the mimbar of the Prophet. And the mihrab they pray is another mihrab in front. Why? Nobody is worthy to stand on the pulpit of the Prophet, and nobody is worthy to stand in the mihrab of the Prophet. Nobody's worthy. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then addressed the people. Umar radiallahu anhu is inside, and all the people have gathered. And Umar is still going off. He's standing up, going off. No one say he died. No one say he died. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then, from the polite, kind, nice man, he turned into a lion. This is where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's strength is. And he said, Uskut ya Abu Bakr wajlus. Be quiet, Uslus ya Umar. Be quiet ya Umar. And sit down. Now Umar couldn't hear him. He can't hear him. He's too much in shock. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu repeated again, Ijlis ya Umar waskut. Be quiet and sit down. Umar's keep going. Third time, Ijlis ya Umar waskut. Be quiet. And Umar radiallahu anhu can't even hear him. He doesn't know what's going on. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu ignored him and he began talking. And he said two sentences. Ayyuhan nas, man kana ya'budu Muhammadan, فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ. Whoever of you used to worship Muhammad as their God, then Muhammad has died. Your God has died. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتْ. But whoever used to worship Allah, Allah is living and He will never die. Na'am, brothers and sisters. We worship Allah. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ came to teach us. From the worship of humans to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he recited the following verse.
وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ.
Allah said, and Muhammad, this is a verse from the Quran, and Muhammad is nothing but a messenger like all the other messengers that have passed away before him. If he dies or is murdered, are you going to turn against yourselves and leave Allah? Whoever turns against themselves and leaves the deen will not harm Allah one bit. And Allah will reward those who are grateful to Allah. Umar radiallahu anhu then becomes aware. He looks at Abu Bakr while standing and he said, Allah said this in the Quran. I have memorized the whole Quran. And it's as if I'm reciting it, I'm hearing it for the first time. As soon as he heard that verse, he couldn't feel his legs and he fell to the ground. And now he accepted the Prophet ﷺ had died. He fell to the ground, couldn't get up. Umar, the one whom the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Umar, if you were to choose a path, the shaitan would choose another path because he's afraid of you. Umar, the one who when the migration happened, all of them migrated in secret except him. He stood up and said, whoever wants to be an orphan, follow me. Umar, the courageous one, now falls to the ground. And who's standing up? Who's the only one standing up? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Truly, he is the true Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Abu Bakr came down to the Prophet, to Umar, and calmed him down. And the Muslims are thinking, what are they going to do with the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So, the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed there for 3 days. 3 days. No one knows what to do. Do we take his clothes off and wash him? Do we shroud him? Do we bury him in the Baqi'? Do we bury him near the Mimbar? They started giving all these different opinions. Some said near the Mimbar, some say near the Baqi'. Some said no one knew where to bury him. Who remembered? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, the bodies of the prophets do not decay, and the martyrs. They do not decay. And wherever the Prophet dies is where his burial is. And all of them could not deny that. They had to move the Prophet's body, dig a hole, and bury him under his bed where he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the Prophets were like that. How are they going to wash him? Some of them went to sleep, and when they woke up, they all said, we heard a voice in our sleep saying, غَسِّلُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فِي ثِيَابِهِ. Wash the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his clothes on. And so Ali radiallahu anhu and Al-Fadl, the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's uncle, and Usama ibn Zayd Abdullah ibn Zubayr, no, Usama ibn Zayd, hold on, who was it? Abdullah ibn Abbas and one more. Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu. Abdullah the son of Zubayr, because he was also related to. So all the people were related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They stayed in there. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to the masjid, gathered the Muslims, and they had to take care of what? The Khilafah. Who's going to be the leader? Otherwise the Muslims were going to start to divide. Each person saying, be the Khalifa, be the. Because they were all people, weak-hearted iman were thinking about this. And all the Muslims that were there elected Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu by consensus and by counsel that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu will be the Khalifa. However, Ali radiallahu anhu and Al-Abbas and Abdullah ibn Al-Fadl, and Abdullah ibn Zubayr, the founding Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were in there washing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they didn't have a say, but they also pledged allegiance with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu later on. So they washed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over his clothes. Al-Abbas and Ali radiallahu anhu were moving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's body right and left, while Abdullah ibn Zubayr and Al-Fadl were pouring the water over the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they brought some material, from expensive material that came from Yemen, very expensive material, white material, very good material, and they shrouded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this white material over, this is the kafan, over the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's body. And then they left the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there. Why? For 3 days, all the Muslims were coming in to pray Salatul Janaza on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had died, there was no imam. Abu Bakr was the imam of the masjid, but no imam for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because he is the imam. You can't be an imam in front of the imam, who is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did they do? Everyone started to pray individually, without a jama'ah. And because of that, they needed time before burying the Prophet ﷺ. Yes, it is the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ said, bury your dead immediately as fast as you can. The wisdom behind it, brothers and sisters, is because to honor the body. The body naturally decays very quickly. And it starts changing color. And it starts smelling. So when you bury them early, there's don't leave time for people to see something they shouldn't see or to smell, out of respect and honor for the body of the Muslim. As for the body of the Prophet ﷺ, it's not like anybody. He never smelt. Wallahi, he never decayed. And all those 3 days, every Sahabi said, طَابَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَيًّا وَمَيِّتًا. Wallahi, he was beautiful when he was alive, and exactly the same way when he was dead. The angels prayed on the Prophet ﷺ, then his family prayed on the Prophet ﷺ, then the Muhajirun, then the Ansar, then the Sahabas, then the children, and all of them, the women. Until the third day, it was a Wednesday, the correct opinion was that it was a Wednesday afternoon, and all the people could hear in the masjid were the Sahabas, the family of the Prophet ﷺ, with shovels digging. And they all got scared. How can we put the Prophet ﷺ under the ground? But they had to. And they buried the Prophet ﷺ. There was one of the Sahabas, I forgot his name. He said, one of my ring fell in the grave. Can I get it? And they said, yeah, go get it. I think it was Abu Sa'id. So he went down. It was an excuse for him. And he touched the Prophet's arm. And he said, I was the last one to touch the Prophet. They buried him. After that, Fatima radiallahu anha enters and sees that the Prophet ﷺ had been buried. And she couldn't help herself but say, كَيْفَ طَابَتْ أَنفُسُكُمْ. How could you get yourselves to put the turab, to put the soil over my father's body? She kept on saying it until Ali radiallahu anha calmed her down. That was the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. After that, Bilal radiallahu anhu. I mean, it's Wednesday, they buried the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Asr or Dhuhr came. Bilal radiallahu anhu had to call the Adhan. So he gets up and he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And he burst into tears. And the entire Medina started to cry. They said, we have never heard the cry of such blackness in Medina since the day he died. Bilal radiallahu anhu could not give the adhan after that day till he died. Every time he reached Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, he cried. And he had even moved from Medina to Syria. And when Jerusalem was opened, at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu said, ya Bilal, come on, give the adhan here in Jerusalem out of love for the Prophet ﷺ. And he got up and he gave it. This was years later. And when he reached Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, he burst into tears. And everybody cried remembering the Prophet ﷺ and Bilal. From that time till his death, radiallahu anhu, he could not give the adhan past Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, except once when he saw a dream of the Prophet ﷺ saying, Ya Bilal, why have you left us? And he went to Medina once and made the adhan once. Then he looked to his right, where the Prophet ﷺ used to come out of the curtain, and he started to cry until Bilal radiallahu anhu died in Ash-Sham. Then the Jews heard about the death of the Prophet ﷺ, the people of Banu Nadir, and the others, the cousins of the Jews, and they made a mockery out of it. They said, the Prophet of the Arabs has died. And they started to say, good morning and good evening. Not in English, in Arabic. Sabah al-khayr wa sabah al-masa'ul-khayr. Every time they woke up, they say, good, is a good morning for you and a good evening for you. Obviously, we can say good morning, good evening. I'm not saying it's haram. But they use that as a celebration for them. And this was a group that had still had enmity to Prophet ﷺ, even though the Jews lived happily and in peace for many centuries to come after the death of Prophet ﷺ under Islam with the Muslims. My brothers and sisters in Islam, such is the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. Rasul ﷺ left us with the following words, تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْمَحَجَّةِ الْبَيْضَاءِ, I have left you on the clear white page. لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا, its night is as clear as its day. لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكَ, the only ones who are doomed to destruction will move away from my sunnah. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي, follow my sunnah. وَسُنَّةَ الْخُلَفَاءِ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ الرَّاشِدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي, and the sunnah of my khalifas who are rightly guided after me. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left us with that message and with that mercy and with that compassion. Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah. Allahumma ij'al an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faratan lana 'inda al-hawd. Oh Allah, make the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for each one of us awaiting us at his fountain of Kawthar, from which we will drink from his hands. I ask, or from his fountain. Allahumma salli ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa qaidina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma wa ba'athu al maqam al mahmood alladhi wa'adta. Oh Allah, bring him on the day of judgment in the honorable state in which he will intercede for us, and we are behind him and we enter paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died saying also among his words, Ummati, Ummati, O Allah, save my Ummah, save my Ummah. And on the day of judgment, he will say, O Allah, save my Ummah, and Allah will save his Ummah because of him. Be proud of being the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I thank you for listening. And inshallah, on the 7th of February, we will start again another topic. But for now, we'll take a break. And وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.